But we're going to start today by reading together in chapter 16, verses 7 through 15 to kind of lay the foundation. Then we're going to look today at who the Holy Spirit is and what is his purpose. Notice there in verse 7, it says, "Now I tell you the truth," this is Jesus speaking, "it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come to you, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of what is mine and will declare it to you." Let's pray. Father, we do ask now for an outpouring of your Spirit during the teaching of your word. Lord, we know this, that we need your Spirit. And we ask all the time, Lord, fill us. Lord, pour out your Spirit. Lord, move by your Spirit. There's a reason for that, because your word says that we can do nothing apart from you. And so nothing in the flesh profits. Lord, there's not going to be anyone ministered to or built up or the word of God really heard today in spirit unless you do it by your power. So that's our plea. Lord, we've gathered together to hear you this morning. Open up our ears to hear. Speak by your sweet Holy Spirit to us. And let us just be, Lord, filled with you and enjoying you and filled with your word now as you instruct about who you are. We want to know you, Lord. Let us know who you are in this third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week we began looking at the Holy Spirit. We looked specifically at two things. If you remember, we looked at, is the Holy Spirit for today? And secondly, we talked about, why are so many people afraid of the Holy Spirit? And we discussed that at length. So if you didn't hear that tape, I encourage you to get that. But it's interesting to me that one of the subjects in Scripture that Paul wants to make sure that we're not ignorant of, one of the most important subjects in Scripture, is the subject of the Holy Spirit. So much so that Paul designated entire chapters to just talking about it. God deals from Genesis to Revelation, as we're going to see before we're done, with the Holy Spirit. And still there's ignorance on the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't say that to name call. What that means is we need to be well-versed in the Word of God to understand who our God is. You know, you can't know someone unless you spend time with them, can you? You've got to spend time. That's why on Sunday mornings, oftentimes it's frustrating because we see each other, we love each other, we say hi, we smile, we hug, but we can't really get to know each other in an intimate level typically on a Sunday morning. That's why the kinships are so important. That's why other fellowship is so important, because God desires that we be intimate with one another. But he also, more importantly, desires that we be intimate with him. And there's no way we can be intimate with him and know him unless we're spending time with him. And that is to get to know the Lord and to get to know the work of his Holy Spirit. And again, as I said, the Bible has a lot to say about the Holy Spirit, but the problem is there's not a lot of teaching about the specifics of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. There seem to be more teachings in Paul's day the same way, and in our day today, a lot of teachings about more of the feelings and emotions of the Holy Spirit. And I think because of that, there's a focus oftentimes on the feelings and emotions of the Holy Spirit, which are great, and I love them. But there's not clear, solid instruction about who the Holy Spirit is and how he operates in the believer's life. And because of this, oftentimes we see the Holy Spirit really not being able to work in our lives or in the life of the church the way he wants. Now, let me say this again. We said it last week. The last thing I want to do is squelch the work of the Spirit. We want God to be able to move freely here. He gives us a large playground. But the bottom line is we need to know what the boundaries are. And something that God put on my heart just this morning, praying about this, saying, Lord, I want to be able to properly represent you. Here I am standing up here to represent the Lord and to speak about his Holy Spirit. There's no way I can do that adequately. That's impossible. God doesn't expect me to be able to do that. But what God does expect me to do, and what God does expect you to do, is to properly represent him by your understanding of the Word of God. And we see a lot of things in the church today that are done in the name of the Holy Spirit that really have nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. And some of you, maybe if you've watched some Christian TV and you've been involved in different things, maybe movements in your past, you've seen some of this. And please don't take this wrong. I am not judging or speaking bad of any brother or sister in the Lord. They're all different denominations and different movements. And they are our family. They are our brothers. They are our sisters. And we're to love them. And you know what? We better, because we're going to be with them forever in heaven. And they'll be a lot stronger when they get there if we don't now. Anyway, I'm joking, but you get the point. We need to love them. However, because of a lack of teaching, of just the clear teaching of God's word, working through the Bible, working through certain sections, looking at what it says, there's a lot of confusion in certain areas. And guys, I think we understand the Holy Spirit is one of them. And something God put in my heart this morning was, you know what? When I was saying, God, help me to properly represent you, the thing that came into my mind was, make sure it's not identity theft. Now, what do I mean by that? Guys, everyone in this room probably has heard about identity theft. Identity theft is one of the biggest problems right now in our world. Just in 2008, there were 10 million people who had their identity stolen, and someone took their identity and then misrepresented them for either personal gain or some other reason. And I fear, and I believe I can say really with authority what we've seen in the church since the beginning of the church, back in Paul's day, because he talks about it in Corinth. But also in our day is oftentimes an identity theft when it comes to the Holy Spirit, oftentimes coming from the pulpits and even from other believers. And what do I mean by that? Guys, I believe oftentimes we are misrepresenting who the Holy Spirit is because we don't really understand who the Holy Spirit is. We don't know who the Holy Spirit is. And that's what I'm hoping that we can learn as we go through this whole series on the Holy Spirit. Because I not only want to cover who he is based on the word of God, we're going to look at the gifts of the Spirit, which a lot of people seem scared to death of today as well. God didn't give us something to scare us. Now, you may have had one of those dads who played the joke on you, you know, and you unscrew the lid, something jumps out, or this kind of thing. Maybe you had that, you know, and I'm sorry if you did. We have counseling afterwards. They'll be on both sides of the sanctuary. You can see us on that. But the bottom line is God doesn't do that with us. God is gentle. He's a gentleman. He has great power. He works great in the supernatural realm. He gives the Holy Spirit. He gives the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He has a certain way the gift is supposed to operate. The gifts are supposed to operate a certain way the Spirit is supposed to move. Our job is to find that out so that we don't end up stealing it, having identity theft going on and giving the wrong identity to the Holy Spirit when we're presenting the Holy Spirit. Listen, there are things I see today, and I'm not going to go into some kind of list, but you've seen this as well. There are things I see today that people say, that's the Holy Spirit, and I say, I can't find that anywhere in the Bible, and to be quite honest with you, I think that makes the Holy Spirit look foolish. Do you believe the Holy Spirit is foolish? Absolutely not. But guys, this is not a new problem. Satan has done this from the beginning. I believe one of Satan's goals, if he can't stop us from being Christians, is to make the Holy Spirit look so foolish to us that none of us want to have anything to do with that power in our life. And I believe he also uses it oftentimes in the unbeliever, so they won't even come and join up. You remember the woman following Paul. We've talked about this before. Paul is traveling doing missionary work in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this woman starts following him. And note this, she is demon-possessed. Paul doesn't know that yet, but this is what blows me away. She is speaking the truth about God and about Paul and about the servants of God. She's not saying demonic things. She's not speaking evil. She's not slandering, gossiping, blaspheming. She's simply following them, no doubt in a loud voice. These are the servants of the Most High God. And I'm not screaming because I would kill you. These are the servants of the Most High God. And Paul's like, you know, day one, you know, day, some goes, he's, day or two goes by. He's like, you know what? She's really enthusiastic. And I guess that's good and all, but these are the servants of the Most. And what's happening is as their group is moving along, people are starting to no doubt back away. Like, who are those guys? I mean, they're a little bit fruity. Well, these are the guys that are preaching Jesus. They said he died and resurrected. Well, I don't want anything to do with that because they look crazy to me. These are the servants of the Most. Like, their own personal crier, you know, kept following them around, right? Finally, God speaks to Paul and says, Paul, what she's saying is true, but this is not my spirit. This is demonic. And Paul says, he turned to her and said, enough of this. Come out of her right now. And it says the demon came out of her and she was freed and she began to actually follow them and rejoicing because now she was freed. But the thing that really points out to all of us right now is this. Listen, just because someone is speaking the truth, even about the church or a Christian, if they're doing it in a foolish way, don't attribute that to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not make us look foolish. He's not going to have you running around doing something that everybody goes, what's that guy doing? I have to be very careful when I present this, guys. I think you see my passion. I do not want in any way to come across as judging my brother or somehow misrepresenting. What I'm saying is I believe the reason a lot of these things happen is because we don't know what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. And I believe that Satan successfully drives people away from the church simply by seeing abuses of what is supposed to be the Holy Spirit and identity theft right in front of their eyes. The Lord's up there going, that's not me. I would never do that. Who told you to do that? Where did you find that in the Bible? And guys, listen, I do not want to squelch the Spirit any more than you do. I do not want to quench the Holy Spirit any more than you do. But here's my commitment to God. If I can't find it in the Bible, I'm not doing it. Why? Because I don't want to stand before him and say, what were you doing? Well, they told me, and I watched this TV show, and this guy, what did I tell you? Well, I didn't look at it that much, so I don't know. Well, you should have. Because I gave great detail about who I am, about who my spirit is, about how I work. I am holy. And you know, it's interesting. When the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus, it says, and John saw him descend on the Lord. He didn't descend on him like a pterodactyl. We've talked about that before. How did he descend upon him? Like a dove. You ever seen a dove land? Gentle, sweet, often with a cooing. You know what they do, right? I don't know why I do those things. Just pray for me. But he descends, right? And yet, guys, note this. I'm not diminishing his power. All the power of the universe was in that Holy Spirit descending like a dove. All the power of creation, power of the universe. At any command he made, he could destroy and wipe out the entire universe in 1 second, a ball of flame. So all the power is there. But the bottom line is the power is not done in such a way that makes the church look foolish. It's not done in such a way that makes people run away. It's done in such a way where people go, wow, that's beautiful. And that's powerful. And I want that in my life. Hey, those gifts don't scare me because I see them done the right way. And I see the power of God. And I see the purpose. And I see the reason. And when we get to the gifts, you're going to see each purpose and each reason for each gift that God gives. And they operate beautifully. Guys, I see the gifts operating in the body of Christ all the time on a regular basis. And God is working in that way in great ways. And so again, as I approach this, I want to do it with, you know, as they say, with kid gloves, making sure I do it the right way so that it can be done in an instructional way, but at the same time, so that we understand who it is that we're dealing with and how he operates. Let's just jump into it. Now notice what it says. The first thing I want you to note about the Holy Spirit this morning is this. Look at verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, and it is to your advantage that I go away. Again, if the Lord didn't go away, the Spirit indwelling wouldn't be sent. And we'll cover that probably next week. So we're not going to get ahead of ourselves. But he says, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, note this, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. The first thing I want to note about the Holy Spirit is he is not an it or a force or something you can manipulate or throw on someone or anything else. He is a person, and he is the third person of the Trinity. And if you're an underliner, as we go through these next verses, I want you to underline every time the Lord refers to him as he or him, he or him, he or him. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a force like in Star Wars. He's not an electricity. He is a person. And we oftentimes get this misconception that somehow there's this energy floating around that we can grab onto, or maybe we can drop somewhere and get it and bring it back. Have you heard that? You can't drive somewhere and get it and drive it home. Holy Spirit is a person. And anyone who will yield to him and say, God, take me over, take my life, fill me, I'm yours. He will possess them. You've heard of people being demon possessed, right? Guys, we're spirit possessed. Holy Spirit possessed. And the difference in the demons are is they don't give the person who's possessed the option of how they want to live their life, do they? They take over completely. I kind of wish God would force his way on me that way, but he doesn't. If God wanted to, he could force his way on us and all of us would be completely taken over by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're like me, you're going, yes, do that. He says, no, no, no. I descend like a dove with all the power of the universe in my wings. And as much as you give me, I will give back and fill you. You see, guys, we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, but oftentimes we have so much clogging up our spiritual system, he can't do it. He wants to fill every part of our body. We talk about how could there be a filling of the Spirit if he's a person? Remember, he's spirit. And when you give your life to Christ, the Bible says he comes to live inside and he's indwelling you. And someone asked me this after first service, so I want to make it clear. He won't leave, come back, leave, come back, leave, come back. You're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You are saved. He lives in you. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. At salvation, he lives inside of you. However, you can grieve his spirit. You can reject his spirit. You can limit his spirit. Even as we have regular arteries and the way our blood flows through our body, guys, our spiritual arteries can get clogged by the lives that we live and the things that we do. What is your spiritual diet? Is your spiritual diet a bunch of devotions and TV? Now, don't take me wrong if I call that junk food. I can't think of a better analogy. Devotions are good. Hearing teachings, I'll do that all the time. But the meal that you need will come from eating the Word of God, that is reading the Word of God, spending time in the Word of God, and then you will have a healthy flow of God's Spirit, and then praying and saying, God, fill me with your Spirit, and allowing those spiritual arteries to be open so that God can fill all of you and say, Lord, here I am, take me. I want to give every bit of me to you. That's being filled with the Spirit. You know, I hear people say this, well, you get everything of God that you could ever get when you're saved. Listen, God offers every bit of himself at the day of your salvation. Every bit of himself he offers, but we don't always let him have all of us. And that's the problem. God says, I want to fill you. I want to take your life over. I want to be a part of your life in every way. It's interesting. The Bible says to stay away from things that so easily beset. The kind of thing that God has convicted me of recently is, you know what, there's a lot of things we're free to do, but they're not really edifying or building us up in the Lord, are they? We're free to do them. They're not bad, but are we putting more time into them than we are the things of God? And now we have our priorities out of place, and we have the weights that Paul said that so easily beset us. You know, I don't want weights on my legs when I run around the track. Hard enough to run around it now. Last thing I want to do is put weights on my legs, unless, of course, I'm training for something. We know the analogy can be applied there, but that's not what I'm applying here. The bottom line is we need to lay these things aside, and as we lay them aside and give God more room to fill us, God can fill more room. Look, you go in a house, and if there's boxes all the way up to the ceiling in every room, those rooms can't be used until those boxes are taken out. And a lot of us have boxes in our life blocking certain areas of what God wants to do, and God is saying, just get those out of there. Clear the area out. Let me have it. Let me inhabit your home. Just empty it. I will fill it with me. And that's being filled with the Spirit. We'll talk about the empowering of the Spirit. There's an application there as well of being empowered in the Spirit. We're going to get into next week. When he talks about being filled with the Spirit, it works synonymously with being empowered in the Holy Spirit. And there are different workings of the Holy Spirit with us, in us, upon us, all having specific purposes. And we'll get to that next week. But the focus this week, again, is to make sure that we understand who the Holy Spirit is and allow him to fill us. And before we're done, we're going to give God the opportunity to do that again. But again, note this. He is a him. If you're a note taker, there's the first thing. The second thing is, in verse 7, look at there, it says, the helper will come to you. Guys, he's our helper. You probably know the word. If you've been a Christian any length of time, it's the word paraclete or parakletos. Paraclete, it means a comforter. Somebody that comes alongside and comforts us. Guys, do you need comfort today? The Holy Spirit is here to comfort you right now. He's the one to comfort you. He's the one you cry out to. He's the one you ask for. Say, God, I need your comfort. He comes and he comforts us, and he comforts us in many ways. In our trials and our tests and our anxieties, he's the one that calms us down. And so when we run to people, nothing wrong in having friends for godly counsel and going to your pastor and all those things, but the true comfort is only going to come from the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And so he says, here's who I am. You want to know the third person? You want to know the Holy Spirit? First of all, he's a he. And number two, he's your comforter. Call on him when you need comfort. He will be your comforter. He will be the one to minister to you and to, you know, work in your life. Again, this third person of the Trinity. And again, we'll look at that more in just a moment. The third person of the Trinity. But notice he says, he goes on in verse 8, and it says, again, notice all the he's here. This is, I'm pointing out. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Again, if you're taking notes, here's the next one to jot down. The Holy Spirit is a convictor, not a condemner. How many of us have felt condemned after we've sinned? I have. I felt condemned. That's not the Holy Spirit. How do you know, Pastor Mark? Because the Bible says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Listen, there's not condemnation. That's not the Holy Spirit. That is either your flesh or it's the enemy. It is conviction when you realize, you know what? I'm not condemned, but this was wrong and I need to make it right. And then we simply go to the Lord and say, God, forgive me. Wash me clean. I repent, Lord. And now the convictor works. You know, it's interesting. I heard another pastor sharing about his son one time talking to his mom and talking to the pastor's wife and the son to his mom and saying, Mom, I hear people talk about it. I heard the Lord say today, and I heard the Lord say, I never hear the Lord. I know Jesus, but I don't ever hear him talk to me. And she said, honey, you ever done something wrong and heard something in your heart or your mind that said, don't do that? He said, well, yes. She said, that is the Lord speaking to you. You just haven't learned to recognize his voice yet. Guys, we're not convicted on our own. Our sinful flesh wants to sin. It desires to. The conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. If you're convicted this morning saying, I need to get my life right with God. I need to listen to what this guy's saying. I'm convicted about this. Maybe even convicted about the fact that you need the Holy Spirit to move more freely in your life. Maybe you've been squelching the Holy Spirit. Then you need to ask God to forgive you that. You know what's interesting about identity theft? Getting back to identity theft, I think that a lot of us have had a wrong picture of the Holy Spirit taught to us for so many years, depending on what your background is, that it takes a long time for you to come to the realization of who he really is and allow him to work in your life. You know, with identity theft, these people that happens to, they say it takes them years. Years and years it takes to ever get back their credit, to get their name cleared, to get all the things back to where it was before this all happened, right? Guys, I see the same thing when it comes to identity theft and the Holy Spirit. Because it seems like for years and years and years, people that have come from a background where there are abuses, they're so bound up that they won't get anywhere near it. I'm not going to, right? And then you have some people that are so far away from it that when they find out that God works that way through his Holy Spirit and then the move of the Holy Spirit, then they jump so far the other way that they kind of go, you know, crazy. You know, it's like they're just enjoying the Lord and they're a little bit out of control. And that's just a baby Christian. You'll reel them in and teach them the proper boundaries. But we tend to overreact depending on what our background is. Sometimes it takes years for God to bring that pendulum right back to the middle. I was one of those who grew up in a background where the Holy Spirit was not a part of anything. As a matter of fact, it was strange, it was weird. And if you got into any of the gifts, that was absolutely not of God. And it took me a long time for God to not only to show me the work of his Spirit, but for me to really allow it to move freely in my life. And some of you may have come from the other side of it. Whatever your background is, it takes a while for God to balance that out. But guys, we've got to learn to allow God to work through the power of his Spirit in our life. We have to let him do that. And as he does that, one of the things he does is he convicts us. He's the convictor. So if you're convicted, know that that's God's work working in your heart. And notice it says he will convict the world of sin. That is because we need to know that we're sinners. We have to know that to be saved. He'll convict the world of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they don't believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. There's got to be an example of righteousness in front of us. And verse 11, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Who is the ruler of this world being judged? That's Satan. Again, the Bible talks in 2 Corinthians 4:4 about Satan being the god of this world, small g. Now, God is the God over the universe. He's the God over all things. But Satan has limited power and limited movability, if you will, until the Lord comes back and establishes his throne. God has done that for whatever the purpose. We wish he didn't, but he did. He knows what's best. I guess I'm glad he did because he knows what's best, but on a personal level, I could say maybe I wish he didn't. You know, there wouldn't be the attack and the struggle there. But the bottom line is that he has done these things. And again, the convictor convicts of these things. And notice verse 12, he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Again, the Holy Spirit would teach them later. Notice verse 13. This one is packed full. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. Note this, guys, several things here in verse 13. First of all, who is the Holy Spirit? If you're taking notes, you want to add to that list. The next thing is, he's the Spirit of truth. How do you know truth, and how do you know falsehood? By the Holy Spirit leading you in his word, showing you. Jesus said to Pilate, those who know my voice, they know truth. They hear me, they know the truth. Pilate said, what is truth? In a mocking sense. The truth can be discovered by the Holy Spirit. He leads us into all truth as we read the Word of God. Have you ever just been reading the Word of God and something just jump off the pages like never before? You're like, where'd that come from? I've read this a million times my whole life. I never saw that ever. That's the Holy Spirit. He said, you know what? I'm with you this morning. I'm your comforter. I'm your paraclete. I'm beside you. I'm right here, and I'm going to show this to you. I'm going to open your eyes to that. I'm going to lead you into all truth. Sweet, this is what he does. This is great. What is the next thing he does? Notice that not only is the Spirit of truth, but he will guide you into all truth. He not only is the Spirit of truth, but he guides us as we work through the Word of God, as we pray, as we seek him, he guides us in that. So the next thing, the Holy Spirit is a guide into all truth. And then notice the next thing here, he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He is a messenger for God. He's a messenger. He simply comes and brings the message that God sends him. He's not coming to make something up or to start his own thing. He's coming to give the message that God has already given. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, he's speaking for God. He's giving us that message. And notice the next thing here, again, if you're taking notes, the last thing here in this verse, he will speak and he will tell you of things to come. He's a revealer of prophecy. Isn't that neat? So when you're reading the Word of God, He'll make things jump out at you prophetically. When we did the prophecy study and the rapture and all these other things, He began to speak to us and show us new things. He shows me new things every time I go through that. He shows you new things. He's a revealer of prophecy. So that's what the Holy Spirit does. Daniel chapter 12 says that the Holy Spirit will be revealing more prophecy in the last days. So that's why in the last days we begin to see things become more clear. As the Holy Spirit shows us and as the Scripture lays it out, now we understand. Now we say, now I get it. I see that. He's a revealer of prophecy. He tells of things to come. Now look at verse 14. This is an area where I think we see a lot of error oftentimes in the church. Notice what it says. The next quality of the Holy Spirit, He will glorify me. Guys, the Holy Spirit, nowhere in Scripture does it say that the Holy Spirit glorifies Himself. And in how many times have we seen almost Holy Spirit services where the Holy Spirit is glorified? Listen, the Holy Spirit needs to be moving in a powerful way. We want Him to move in a powerful way in every service, every time we get together. But when the Holy Spirit is moving in a powerful way, whose name do you hear and where does the praise go? It's Jesus, man. It's all about Jesus. The Holy Spirit's job is to say, everybody, could I have your attention, please? Everybody, look at Him. Look at Him. That is where you need to be looking. That is where your eyes need to be. So during the service, if anyone is doing something that's not saying, look at Him, you realize that's not the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit just moved me to jump up and start turning chairs over during the service. And you're trying to squelch the Spirit, brother, because you're telling me not to turn chairs over. That is not the Holy Spirit. Why? Because now my attention is on you turning chairs over. And the Holy Spirit didn't say, I will get attention on myself. I will draw attention to me. I will make all men look at me and say, look at me. What'd He say? Anytime the Spirit's moving, you wonder, is that a move of the Spirit? Is God really in that? Let me ask you this. Is it drawing you and your eyes to Jesus? The Holy Spirit will always glorify Jesus and be a revealer of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And that's what His job is to do. And that is how we know whether or not it's the Holy Spirit or whether we know it's man's spirit or whether we know it's maybe even the enemy like the woman. These are the servants of the Most High God. And everybody's going, what's wrong with those guys? Well, it must be. We don't want to squelch the Spirit. Listen, for you to stick with the boundaries of Scripture when it comes to the work of the Spirit will not quench Him. You can't quench Him if that's who He is. The only thing that will quench or squelch the Spirit is when He's doing something within His Word and we're saying, I don't want any part of that. Listen, if you deny the gifts, you will quench the Spirit of God. That's what He does. The gifts He gives the Spirit, Spirit gives the gift as He wills. And for us to deny the gifts, or us to deny prophecies, or deny tongues, or deny these things, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. Now, do we lose our salvation? Absolutely not. Not the issue at all, but you will grieve Him. He's here trying to do a work. He's like, look, I want to move in your life. I want to move in others' life. How are you representing me? Is this identity theft? Are you really reading who I am from the Scripture? Properly demonstrate me. Properly show me. Properly reveal me. And then by God's grace, we can do that the best we can. We talk about the different things that He is. Notice there, He will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father have are mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of mine and declare it to you. So again, He will declare Jesus Christ and lift the Lord up. We say, all right, well then how do we, you know, we talk about the grieving of the Holy Spirit. Is it really possible to grieve the Holy Spirit? I want to give you a couple of scriptures on those because again, if we don't allow Him to move the way He is and in His character and what He wants to do, we will grieve Him. Ephesians 4:30 says this, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Allow Him to work in your life. Some of you this morning, you're not allowing God to work the way He wants to. Let Him work. He will descend upon you like a dove. He's not going to take you over and make you do things that are out of your control. When we get into 1 Corinthians and we look at how the Holy Spirit works in the gifts, the Bible is going to show us that every gift that God gives, you control it. You're the one in control of that gift. He gives it, but you're in control of when it's used, when it's not used, how it's used, how it's not used. He gives you that freedom. He doesn't come in like Satan. See, Satan didn't give the freedom. When he possesses someone, they're going to do his bidding. They're going to do everything he says to do. When the Lord does it, he says, I love you, and if you'll allow me to lead you, I will, but I'm not going to take over. And so we have to understand that. We grieve him when we don't allow him to work, when we deny him. Acts 7:51, remember Stephen speaking to the Sanhedrin? And he says this. He says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Not a great thing to say if you want to get on somebody's good side. Anyway, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So do you. Stop resisting, he's saying. And again, I make an appeal to some of you this morning. Some of you are probably resisting the work of the Spirit. You're probably even struggling. Listen, I'm not asking you to believe me. I love it. Acts 17. What does it say in Acts 17, 11? Paul was talking about the Bereans. He said the Bereans were more noble-minded than the Thessalonians. See, I went to the Thessalonians. They just believed everything I said. I could have been anybody. I could have been Satan incarnate. They just believed everything I said. They didn't question it. They didn't go to the Word to see if it was there. They just believed it because, you know, he was the pastor. He says, not so with the Bereans. He said, you were more noble-minded. The Bereans, rather, he was speaking third person. He says, they were more noble-minded than the Thessalonians in that they went home and they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Guys, be more noble-minded. The word of God is your standard, not a man. And so we need to make sure that we run to the Lord, but we have to be yielding to the Holy Spirit and allow God to work in our lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the next thing, there's only a couple more things to cover here. Before we have some time of just some worship and really seeking the Lord on this, but the next thing to note about the Holy Spirit is this, and it sounds so basic, he is holy. He's holy. He's called the Holy Spirit. Mark, what is your point? We get it. Holy Spirit. I think sometimes we say it so much we don't pay attention to it, but oftentimes we say, oh Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit while I choose to live my unholy life. What? I said, fill me with your Holy Spirit while I choose to live my unholy life. Now, we don't really say that, but that's what we're saying. If we're asking him to fill us, but we're choosing to live knowledgeably an unholy life, is it not? I'm going to continue to live with my girlfriend, my boyfriend. I'm going to continue to be involved. But Lord, fill me. I'm ready to receive all that you have. Oh, Lord, I'm holy. You want me to fill you? Be holy. Now, some of you are saying, well, we can't be holy. I don't have the right outfit or use the right voice for that. Holiness simply means this, set apart for God in everything you do. If you are set apart for God in everything you do, and you're not a part of the unholy world or sin that's going on out there, you are holy with God. You're walking in holiness. It's not how you dress. It's not how you speak. It's simply being set apart for God and saying, Lord, you're holy, and I want your Holy Spirit to fill me, but how can you inhabit a place? Yes, he indwells us, absolutely. Don't get me wrong on that. I'm not saying he doesn't indwell, but we grieve his Spirit. And so we have to live holy lives in order to allow the Lord to fill us in holiness. And so, guys, another question for you. Are you living holy? Is there something you need to confess this morning and say, I'm not living holy, so I'm not allowing God to do this. Am I quenching the Spirit? Am I squelching the Spirit? Again, he doesn't leave, come back, but we grieve him. You know, the best example I know, it's kind of hard to relate sometimes spiritual things in the earthly realm, but when you and your husband or you and your wife have a fight, you're still married, aren't you? But you know what? It's not the same until you get it right. If you have a friend that you have an argument with, you're still friends, but it's not the same until somebody says, hey man, you know, forgive me, I'm sorry, or whatever. There's something there, there's a distance. You have grieved the relationship. You have strained the relationship. That's how we are with the Holy Spirit, grieving and straining the relationship. So we need to say, all right, Lord, I lay everything out. I ask you to forgive me. I repent of what I know you don't want me to be involved in. Now fill me with your Holy Spirit. I'm ready to receive. I want all that you have for me. And we simply ask, and the Bible says that God will do it if we will simply ask. The last thing I want to point out, and then we're going to be done. Turn to your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. The last thing I want to point out before we finish here, and actually we'll start in Acts chapter 5, and I'll give you the groundwork, what I would have read to you. But in Acts chapter 5, this is the last thing I want you to know today about the Holy Spirit. What was happening? The early church was established. There were many people that were poor and broke in the early church, and because of that, they needed help. So some of the wealthier were selling their possessions, giving them to the church, and saying, use them for the poor. We want them to have it. Now, God didn't ask them to do that. The church didn't ask them to do that. That was something they chose to do. And even if they did give it, they didn't have to give all of it. The problem was, those that were giving what they were giving. Ananias and Sapphira come along, and they're going to do something similar, but they're going to lie to the Holy Spirit. They're going to pretend to give everything when they don't. Notice chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and he brought a certain part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? Now we see the gift of word of knowledge working in Peter's life. A word of knowledge is when something is revealed to you that you couldn't know unless God just revealed it. Peter didn't know they'd lied. They sold the property. They said they brought all of it. Peter, the Holy Spirit speaks to Peter and says, they're lying, Peter. Confront them. And Peter says, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? Now note that. I have that underlined. Why have you lied to who? The Holy Spirit. Keep that in mind. That's very important for the next couple of verses. Then Peter goes on. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? In other words, you could have done with it as you wanted. God wasn't making you do that, but you've lied to the Holy Spirit. But notice this last line, and actually in verse 4 is the last one we're going to do. He says, you have not lied to men, but to God. Now, it should be pretty obvious when we say that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, but guys, the Holy Spirit is God. And there's a whole study we could do on just the Holy Spirit being God. But we need to understand that when we're talking of the Holy Spirit, if we don't understand who it is that we're dealing with and talking about, we're going to be misled in it. So we've got to know. Guys, the question I leave us with today, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Number one, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Number two, are you grieving the Holy Spirit? Well, Pastor Mark, what do I do? How do I do it? Listen, here's all you do. As we begin to pray, I want you just to confess anything that God puts his finger on. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the convictor. Let the Holy Spirit convict you right now. If there's something you need to confess, then begin to confess it. Get it right with God, and don't just confess it. Remember, just saying that you did it is not enough. You have to repent. Don't be a hearer of the word only, but doers of the word. Repent. Say, God, forgive me. And Lord, I just ask you to cleanse me of that. I want to make my home completely open for you to inhabit from head to toe. I mean, it's like you got all of me, all the way down my arms to my fingertips, all the way down my legs to my toes. I give everything. Lord, fill me with you, your spirit, who you are. I don't want to grieve you. I don't want to hold you back. I want you to have all of me. And if you do that, God will fill you this morning. And I can guarantee you it will change your life. I want to give you a chance to do that. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, God, that you have given your Holy Spirit to us, Lord. We need your Holy Spirit. We need you, Lord. We need the third person of the Trinity empowering us and leading us and directing us. And Lord, this morning, there's probably some even here in this room that have been very challenged. Maybe they came from a background where the Holy Spirit was an it or something you could throw on someone or whatever manifestation, someone falsely gave to you. And now they see for the first time in your word that you're a person and you're God and you're holy. And Lord, your desire is to fill us. And Lord, I pray right now as you begin to do one of the things that you do, and that is convict by the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, you begin to convict all of our hearts right now. If there's anything we need to confess, if there's anything we need to get right, begin to convict us right now that we can confess it. And Lord, I ask that on the first level of dealing with sin. Let us deal with sin. But Lord, I ask on a secondary level, if there's anything that's clogging our spiritual arteries, Lord, something we've been eating recently from the world, putting into our spiritual system that are clogging all the valves. And Lord, rather than being filled with you, now we really, honestly, we're filled with the world. And we know all the world's songs and all the world's games and all the world's events. And Lord, we know we're free in all things. We know we're free, things that aren't sin. But Lord, to have our priorities right, to make sure we're filled, Lord, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And Lord, to make sure we're filled with the word of God and the things of God, that we're pouring those things into our children and our families and those around us. Lord, forgive us, God, if we've not been filled with you. And I ask right now, you said that you're a good father and you know how to give good gifts. And if we would simply ask, you would do it. So Lord, we're not afraid. You descend like a dove with all the gentleness of a dove and all the power of the universe coursing through your veins. Descend upon us this morning, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit as we confess before you, Lord. Wash us clean and take over. We give you permission, but we want to see you move in our lives individually in greater ways, and we want to see you move in this fellowship in greater ways, in all your fellowships. But Lord, this is the one you've put us in that we pray for now. And so God, we open ourselves up. And you told us if we opened ourselves up, we need not fear. But just receive. I encourage you right now, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed on his disciples, and after he resurrected, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And it was a command. The word receive was in the command form in the language. Just receive it. I have this for you. I want to give this to you. Don't resist anymore. Don't grieve me anymore. Receive all that I have for you. And I encourage you right now, let him inhabit and take over. As we just worship and meditate on the Lord, just let him do his work in your heart. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, move among us, God. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. To the Lord. Cry, holy, holy, holy. It's the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. We lift up your name today. And Lord, I just pray that you would just continue, Lord, just to touch us, Lord, and touch hearts today. There's so many that so desperately need a touch from you. And maybe they didn't even realize that it wasn't because they haven't really allowed your Spirit to work in their life and move the way you want to. But God, you desire a deep level of intimacy. And there's no way that level of intimacy can be reached unless, Lord, it's a yielding to your Spirit. And so, Lord, we yield to your Spirit, and we thank you, Jesus. We praise you. You know, I said the Holy Spirit's job is to point our eyes to Jesus, and so I want to sing it again, and I want our eyes to totally be focused on him. Clear your mind of everything else. Let's let the Holy Spirit do what his job is to do, and let's give the glory to the Lord that he deserves.
We fall down, we lay our crowns.
We thank you, Lord, for your holy God, and we bless you, Lord. Lord, fill us that we might know you and love you, Lord, like we should. In Jesus' name, amen.